Beloved in the Lord, who have that wonderful gift from our God and Savior, that because we believe, we can count each other brothers and sisters in Christ, made whole by His redeeming blood. There are very few things that are absolute and certain in life. In fact, to say that there are few things might even be a stretch. I am not sure we can say that there's anything in life that is a guarantee. You go to school, you get your training in a particular field, you expect that you're going to be using it for the rest of your life. That does not guarantee that you're actually going to be using your education and working in the field you intended. I know plenty of people with master's degree in marketing and communication and whatever else. They're driving for UPS or something else. Just because you get that education is not a guarantee that you'll actually be working in that field. We do everything we can to keep ourselves healthy. We eat right. We exercise on a regular basis. That is not a guarantee that you'll never get sick or that something won't come about and happen. You put away money for retirement. You plan everything accordingly. Good work of the stock market, investing as you should, expecting that retirement will be simple, will be normal. That's not a guarantee, because you don't know what the market will do, and you don't know about the emergencies that will come up. Nothing in life is a guarantee. In fact, we have that saying, don't we, that there's only two things guaranteed in life. I don't even know if those are guaranteed. Taxes? Still people who evade their taxes. I'm not saying it's right, but they do it. They get caught, they're in big trouble. They still try. And there are places around the world, if you don't have the centralized government like we're used to, like much of the world is used to, where taxes as we know them, they're not enforced the same way. They're not gathered the same way. Can you even say that's really a guarantee? How about death? Ah, there's the great equalizer. The one thing that will claim every single one of us, physical death, unless the Lord comes before the end. And is death even truly a guarantee? We put our trust in what it is that God in His Word says. He says death has been defeated and no longer holds reign and power. Is even that a guarantee? You get my point? Is there anything at all in life? Is there anything we can say that is an absolute guarantee? According to what Paul writes to the Romans, one thing. It's connected intimately with what Jesus tells Nicodemus in our gospel lesson. Probably the best known passage in all of Scripture, John 3:16, where he says, God so loved the world, He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The one guarantee, if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. It's a guarantee because it has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. In fact, that's what Paul talks about when he talks to the Romans here again. He talks about God's guaranteed gift. And that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it has to be. And it's the one guarantee we need in life. It goes all the way back to Abraham. It's hard to believe that so many thousands of years ago that this guarantee was already given. And yet it was that guaranteed promise that Abraham put so much hope and so much trust in. It's the reason why he's given the title, really, the father of faith. Paul said this when he wrote to the Romans. What then will we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered according to the flesh? If indeed Abraham had been justified by works, he would have had a reason to boast, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Of all of the wonderful and great things that Abraham does in his life, What is he credited with? What is the one thing that he is really elevated for? It's not for any of his accomplishments, which is hard to believe because he had a lot of them. When you realize how wealthy and powerful Abraham had become and how great his herds and his flocks had grown, you take a look at Abraham's life and you realize that there are a lot of events that he should stand out for. Mighty deeds and times where he conquered his enemies with relentless fearlessness. And yet, what does God highlight? Not Abraham's accomplishments, not his deeds. He compliments his faith. Let that sink in for a moment. Exactly what it is that that means. That Abraham is not exemplified for what he did, but for what he believed. Of course, it was the faith of Abraham that led him to many things. It was the faith of Abraham and the promise of God that led him to be willing to sacrifice his own son. It was the faith of Abraham that caused him to be so persistent in his prayer for his nephew Lot that he talked God down when it came to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the faith of Abraham that was really talked about so often. That's why he was exemplified. That is why he's considered the father of faith, because it wasn't about only any of his accomplishments that he boasted. It was in the greatness of his God. I want us to keep that in mind as we keep looking at what Paul writes to the Romans. Because we're going to see that that one guarantee in life is a guarantee because it doesn't have to do with Abraham's greatness or ours, but in a simple childlike trust. Paul continued by saying, "Now to a person who works, his pay is not counted as a gift, but as something owed. But to the person who does not work, but believes in the God who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness." What's the difference between a wage and a gift? A wage is something that you are owed. It's something you deserve because of your hard work. If you go to work and you put in your hours and you do what you're supposed to do, it's expected that you're going to get compensated for that. And I have a feeling that if you don't get compensated for your work, you're not going to work there much longer. But a gift is different. A gift is not because of something that we've done. It's all because of the goodness of the giver. It's not something that we have been owed, but it all relies on him. It has to be that way with salvation. We have to realize how important that is. Because if our salvation is something that we are owed, it means that it's on us. And what have we earned? What have we deserved? Take a look at your life. What should we get because of it? Later on in Romans, Paul's going to say, "The wages of sin is death." Always liked that thought. Always liked looking at it that way. To see what is a wage. It's that which we have earned. It's what we deserve. And the only thing we deserve because of our life steeped with sin is death and hell. If we look at our salvation as something that we have earned, because God, I have tried really hard. Or God, you know, I did the right thing here and here, and I praised you and I served you and I raised my kids well. If we keep going to God with all of the things that we have done, then the only thing God can respond with is to remind us of the rest of the things that we have done. This is the fallacy of so many, to figure that somehow salvation, justification will come about because of things that we have done. How many people go to Jesus and say, "Teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life?" It is so ingrained in our heart and in our mind that somehow it's by our own effort. I'll be honest with you, I want it to be by my own effort Because if it's by my own effort, I have a reason to congratulate myself when I get it. Doesn't it feel good to work hard at something and get that sense of accomplishment when it's all done? Don't I want that sense of accomplishment for myself? I've been good. The only way I'm going to feel good about what I've done, though, is if I can ignore and forget about all the rest. And that's where it all falls apart. That's where everything breaks down. If it is a wage, if it is something earned, then all of the rest of my sin is heaped in the mix. It's no longer good. But if it's a gift, if it's something God gives because He wants to, if it's something He gives because He loves, all of a sudden our salvation doesn't rely on ourselves anymore. It can't be tainted by our sin. It can't be lost because of our rejection. It is all based on Him now. If we believe, we get it. That means I can't screw it up because it's on God now. That's how it has to be. And that's what Abraham believed. Paul continues to say, indeed, the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not given to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness that is by faith. To be sure, if people are heirs by the law, faith is empty and the promise is nullified, for law brings wrath. For this reason, the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to the grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants, not only to the one who is a descendant, by law, but also to the one who has the faith of Abraham. This is the only way it becomes a guarantee. There's no certainty in human life. We've already established that. Which is why if we want a guarantee, it's got to rely on God. The reason why we can feel certainty is because He has said, the same unchangeable God who created all things, the one who says He is and was and always will be the same. Because He says, if you believe in Me, if you put your trust in Me, you will live. And not just you, but everyone who does. It's the reason why it's a guarantee. Because it's a gift. And God does not lie. And God does not change. That means He won't change His mind about you. I'm going to be honest, that is the most comforting trait of God for me personally. You think about everything else that God is, all-powerful, almighty, loving and merciful and compassionate and gracious. All of those things that are wonderful traits of God and that He has to have. The most comforting for me is the fact that He doesn't change. And that might sound strange, but the reason is this, because I'm fickle. And I change my mind all the time. And I go through mood swings. And one day I feel great and the next day I feel junky. And on those great days, maybe I'll be loving and kind and gracious. But on my bad days, not so much. The fact that God does not change means He doesn't have a bad day. The fact that God does not change means that when He said, whoever lives and believes in Me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in Me will never die, means that He means it just as much today as the day He said it, and every moment since then, and every moment until the end. He will never change His mind about you. Ever. Even on His bad days. Even on your worst day. He will never change. It is a guarantee. What comfort there is in that. God's guaranteed gift. We are the heirs of Abraham. Not because of Abraham's great descendants. Not because of Abraham's great achievements. We are the heirs of Abraham because we hold to the same faith that he put his trust in, an unwavering trust. Paul finishes what he writes to the Romans here, talking about Abraham still, saying, he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of God, Abraham believed him who makes the dead alive and calls non-existing things so that they exist. There are many who believe that they would be saved because they were the heirs of Abraham. They somehow held to that blood connection. That's not what he means. And that's what Paul's trying to get pointed out. That's what he's trying to make obvious. The reason why we can say Abraham is our father is because we hold to the same promise, hope, and trust that he did. The same faith that unites each and every one of us is the faith that Abraham had that said, I can believe God's guaranteed gift. And that's all I need. With so little in life that we know with certainty, this is the one shining beacon of hope. God's guaranteed gift. Jesus Christ, His Son, and our Savior, given over to death so that we may live, so that our sin may be taken away. And the promise that all who believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that promise will never change. It is His guaranteed gift, reliant on Him. And He doesn't make mistakes. Hold to that, and we'll have everything we need. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.